Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest tonight grew up in Circleville, Ohio, and went to work for the Grand Hotel on Mackinac Island in 1951. He bought the Grand Hotel in 1979, and 60 years later, still works there every day as its chairman, leading 625 employees from 23 countries. He and his wife, Amelia, are the proud parents of Sadie, the United States of America Dog of the Year. His name, Dan Musser Sr., the chairman. And I'm Jack Krasulin, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Now back to Anything Is Possible with Jack Krasulin on News Talk 760 WJR.
We're with the chairman, Dan Musser Sr., the chairman of the Grand Hotel on Mackinac Island. Mr. Musser, welcome, an honor to have you.
Jack, how nice it is to be with you, and thanks for inviting me.
Can we start by talking about your childhood and your parents?
Certainly can. I grew up in a little farm town in southern Ohio, and my dad was in the manufacturing feed business. And I grew up a good life. He died as a young guy, and I was fairly young. My widowed mother stayed with me and kept me going, and we celebrated a long life for her. I left Ohio to go to college, and I went to prep school first for a year so I could get into college. And I think I left in 1950. Went away to school the following year and came up here that summer, which was 1951.
What was the biggest thing you learned from your mom, and what was the biggest thing you learned from your dad?
Oh, I think to be straightforward and honest as much as anything. I think that integrity was in our household, and it caught me pretty square. I think being reliable is another good thing, and I think that they were responsible parents, and I hope I have been.
In 1951, you went to work for the Grand Hotel in the kitchen. How did that come about?
Well, I went to work for my uncle, and my uncle was a big part of my life. He sent me through school, and he said, you better start back there in the kitchen and see what that's all about. And I was lucky enough to have him guiding me, and I worked around the kitchen that summer in various jobs, and finally ended helping the sous chef, which is the second man in control of a kitchen, and he's the sauce guy. And that was kind of an interesting thing, but I never turned out to be a very good cook. But at least you learned what was going on in that factory of a kitchen we have here, and that has served me well. I went on in future summers. I worked in the bar one summer, and I worked on the front desk one summer. And those were all good experiences. I don't think I was aware of how good they might have been, but they moved me around this building in a lot of different ways, and I didn't really know what I was going to do. I was going in the Army, and I went in 1955 in the fall and was there until 57. And then I got married and brought my new bride to Mackinac Island, and she'd never seen it and didn't know what she was getting into. And here we are.
What was it about the Grand Hotel, Dan Musser, that you fell in love with, and why did you stay 60 years?
Well, I guess you got to start with two things. In the beginning, it was an opportunity to probably have a shot at running the thing. And that's kind of exciting to a young kid. You know, I came up here off the farm, and I really didn't know about neckties and very much, except I'd been around a little, I guess, for those days. But it was it was a challenging thing. We went through a strike up here, and I guess it was my second summer here, which was pretty harrowing. And I remember that that second year, we had a waiter strike over rules. And my uncle had come up here in the middle of the night and gone up to their quarters, and they were doing things that weren't supposed to be done. And he was a guy that slept late. And I was living down there with him in his house. And so the manager came to me in the morning and said, we've got a strike on our hands, and I can't get your uncle on the phone. He's not answering. When he was prone to turn the phone off. He said, I got to talk to him about this thing. And he said, can you go down and wake him up? So I did that. Knocked on his door, and he yelled at me, what the hell is this? And he came in, and I told him the tale of woe. And he immediately got into motion. And I'll never forget, he always had a walking stick he carried, and he was sleeping in the back building of his house, the house which I now live in, and he had a bedroom back there with a typewriter and a banquet table from the hotel with a drape on it. And that was his desk, and I told him my tale of woe and what was happening, and he said, what would you do, young man? I said, I don't see that you have any choice but to get them out of here and start over. I don't know how you're going to do this. It was in early August, and we were at full bore. And I'll never forget him cracking that cane down on that table and saying, you're damn right we will. And he immediately got on the boat and got out of here and went down and recruited waiters in Indianapolis and Columbus and in Detroit. And sent busloads of them up here, and people who never carried a tray or had no idea how to wait table. We somehow struggled through. We went to buffet until we got some of these people up here, and everyone in the place was a waiter, whether they wanted to be or not. And we got through that thing, and we got a new crew in, which was not so good, but we made it, I was always impressed throughout my career with him, and since that he did know how to make a decision and could make it and did do it. He delivered.
We're talking to Dan Musser Sr., the chairman of the Grand Hotel, which opened in July of 1887, 123 years ago. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Once again, here's your host, Jack Krasula.
We're with Dan Musser Sr., who went to work for the Grand Hotel in 1951 and then purchased it in 79. Dan, if somebody from New York or Florida comes to Mackinac Island for the first time and is just wowed, and they asked you, how did this happen, sir? What would you tell them?
Well, you have to realize the times. This was 120 years ago, 25 years ago when they started building it. And the railroads were building hotels of this sort along northern United States from east to west, and also in southern Canada from east to west. And most of them were summer places that closed in the winters. And they were interested in building a place to haul people to and from. And that was their business, and they built a lot of these things and leased them to people, and that was what happened with this. The seasons were about 8 weeks, maybe nine. They'd get through Labor Day and go and close down. They called them 60-day wonders, and that's about what they were. And this place was leased to a fellow from Detroit. And he finally told them after two or three years, if they didn't give it to him, he was going to not operate it, and he had a 10-year lease on it. Well, they didn't cotton to that very much and gave it to him, and he kept it going. And he sold it, and it had a rough career in the beginning. And it finally fell into the hands of the gambling organization in French Lick, Indiana. And it was purchased, and that's how our family came into it. My uncle was a kid from southern Indiana, and his parents sent him up to Petoskey for the hay fever season. He really suffered. He started coming when he was 15 years old up there. And he'd stay in the hotel for a month and then go back to southern Indiana and go to school. But he kept coming, and he finally got a job down there when he was 17 or so. And by the time he was 19 or so, he came over here and got a job and worked in this hotel. And it was being operated by the Ballard family from Indiana. And he died after two or three years. And my uncle had made his way up to manager of the place at one point. And the guy died, and so it was left in the hands of the widow. And the widow and the auditor and my uncle became three-way owners on her money, I think. That's how I've interpreted the story over the years. And anyway, that went on during most of the 20s, and the 20s, things were booming. And just before the crash, from his perspective, was good, he sold out to them because the three-way deal wasn't working, and retired. He was a guy 25 years old or so, maybe 30, and he was all set for life. And then came the 1928, and he went down the tubes, had nothing, his paper was worth nothing. And so he got back in. He got back in 31 and bought the place with some borrowed money, which is, if we've got time, that's an interesting story to hear. He'd searched everywhere, and he needed $100,000, which in 31 was a lot of money. It is today as well, but it was a lot of money back then. And that was going to get him out of the widow, and he was going to be back in control. And he searched and searched and searched, and no one was willing to make the loan. And he had a bank called the Lake Street Bank in downtown Chicago that he went to. Who knows how he got there? I don't. And anyway, he went in and made his pitch, and he could talk, and he had a lot of pictures of the hotel he put around the place. And the chairman of the bank was Mr. Kraft of Kraft Foods. And he kept seeing Mr. Kraft slump down in his chair during this presentation, and he got worried. And he ended his conversation and asked for the loan. And Mr. Kraft kind of came up straight, and he said, "Oh, Mr. Woodfill, you bring back so many memories. I spent my honeymoon at that hotel, and we would be glad to make the loan." And he got a deal and moved on and bought out the widow, and he stayed the rest of his life.
Today you have 625 employees from 23 countries. 40% are American. So you have a little United Nations there.
We do indeed.
Talk about that.
Well, we started importing employees in the mid-1970s when we were having employee difficulties and hiring. It's a seasonal thing. We had been using a lot of college students and still do. But the difficulty was that we kept elongating our season, and we now go from very early May to late October, and that kind of precludes a lot of college kids in a lot of positions because we need employees and we can't operate. And so we were having difficulty with seasonal workers from the South, which we used a lot of, because those hotels were starting to go year-round and weren't releasing their employees or keeping them. And it got tougher and tougher. And my friend at the homestead in Virginia said, "I've been using Jamaican waiters, and they are really good. So I said, well, how do you do that? And he told me the procedure to go through, which means you hired a lawyer in Washington and recruited them, and it worked. Well, we've expanded that over the years, and we use what's called an H-2B employee mostly, and that is a seasonal worker for a specific job, and that worker goes back to the country of origin at the end of the term. And so the end of our term is whenever we close the hotel, and they go back then. Well, that's been expanded into teacher or to school children programs of college students, and we have a lot of hospitality industry students from overseas in a lot of countries, and those students have served us well. We have predominantly a Jamaican dining room now, probably 15% otherwise, but the bulk of it is. Our head waiter, who was also a vice president of our company, came to us in that first or second year of using Jamaican employees, and he eventually obtained a green card and has now become a citizen of the United States. And we're proud of that, proud of him, and he's a fine man who's now been with us 40 years. So we've been at this thing for a little while, and it's proven a very good answer for our needs. We've had some difficulties in certain years with immigration policies and rules. We've had some years that were not very good. Fortunately, we're in a uptick right now, and things have been a little easier to obtain employees because there's a cap on 65,000 workers in the country on these people who can come and then return. And that used to be snapped up very quickly, and it was over. And we were always in line and usually prevailed. We had a couple of years we did not, and we really scrambled. This year, for the first time in probably 20 years, the cap wasn't reached, and we were able to really pick and choose who we wanted to bring in of previous employees. And that's helped us, and it's proven that it still works. I think we have better service this year than we've had in the last several, and that's always encouraging. We've worked at it over the years and certainly have learned the system, and we assume that at some point we're going to get a immigration law that's changed from what we've currently know, and who knows what that's going to be. We are working to maintain the seasonal employee worker and hope that happens.
We're talking to Dan Musser, Sr., chairman of the Grand Hotel. When we come back, we'll ask him about the movie Somewhere in Time. And I'm Jack Rasool, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Welcome back to Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Now, here's your host, Jack Krasula.
We're with Dan Musser, Sr., chairman of the Grand Hotel, and with its four remote restaurants, they serve 5,000 meals a day. Dan, the movie Somewhere in Time, a lot of women's favorite movie of all time, Christopher Reeve, Jane Seymour, Christopher Plummer, how did it happen?
It's kind of amazing, Jack. It's become a wonderful thing for us, and you know, they still retreat here every fall of people who are fanatics, really, about that movie, and we're grateful. We have a full house in October of returning people who really just cherish that movie, and we're happy to do that. But you asked the question of how it happened. It's kind of interesting. The book was written by a West Coast writer, and the story was written. It was called In Time Return. I can't even remember the full. I think that was the name of it. Any event, it was written for the Del Coronado in California. And the Del Coronado is an old wooden building like ours. and the same age. We both opened in 87, 1887. And they got down there to look at it, and the Dell has built a high-rise right beside of it, or had at the time, and they just didn't fit their look. And so they were on a search, and they were looking in all across the U.S. and the North, and they were in Canada. They had a couple, one in New England, and another way up in Canada and on the East Coast. And for one reason or another, they weren't very happy with those facilities. And someone said there's a big old white hotel in Michigan. So they called the Michigan Travel Commission. At that point in time, I was the chairman of that commission. And some young woman answered the phone in Lansing in that office and asked about the big old white hotel up in northern Michigan. And, oh, she said, you need to talk to Dan Musser. Who's he? And she told him. And he called me and said, would you be interested in hosting us as we shoot a movie at your place? I said, yes, sir. When do you want to start? And we had some complications because we had conventions and other bookings that were annual for us that we could not shut out and say go away 1 year, and we felt obligated to protect them and did, and we had to provide rooms at somewhere for about 150 people that make up the cast and the players and everything that goes with that in making a movie. And so we were able to arrange rooms at the MRA facilities, which was Moral Rearmament, but they did build it. It's now operates as Mission Point Resort, as a competitor of ours on the other end of downtown Mackinac. But anyway, they were skeptical about not staying in this building. And so I probably got that call in the end of January. And so in those days, we didn't know things like email and fax machines and so forth. And I remember sending them a three-page telegram. And I said, if you are going to make a movie at an older place in the United States, you have to see Mackinac. Well, I didn't quite know how that was going to fly, but I knew that I had to stay in the running somehow. I said, if you will get yourselves to O'Hare in Chicago any day you pick it, I will have a plane there. We'll fly from Chicago to Mackinac. We'll spend the day up there, and we'll get you back to O'Hare that night. Well, they picked a night. Amelia and I got on the plane with them, with three guys. The money guy, which was really the producer's spokesman, the director, and another guy I could never figure out what he did. And we flew up here, and it was a beautiful winter day. It was in mid-February, and it was probably 25 and bright and sunny and no wind. And, of course, we groomed the airport, and we groomed the road from the airport to town, and we got our nice carriages out that was closed, enclosed carriage, and met us at the airport. We came down and went through the Grand and took them down to our house for lunch, where Amelia served us, just five of us. And then we took them down to what was then Moral Rearmament to look at rooming facilities. And really, they were very nice, and they thought that was a good idea. And, you know, we went back on the plane that night. We got off at O'Hare, and we shook hands and said we got a deal. And that's the only agreement I ever had with them on the thing. We never had anything in writing. And we spent a wonderful 2 months filming that here in 1979 in May and early June.
Great story. You've shaken the hands of tens of thousands of guests over these last 60 years. Dan Musser Sr., have there been one or two extra special guests that you, when you put your head on the pillow at night, you said, wow?
I'm sure that we've only had one sitting president here, and that was Jerry Ford, and he had come to office and decided that he would spend some time in Michigan during the summer. He felt that obligation to prove that we were a summer vacation location, and he decided to come to Mackinac. Well, it coincided with a federal judges meeting here, so that gave him an opportunity to speak, and he spoke in the building. He did not stay with us. He stayed in the governor's residence, which is across our golf course here on the island, with then-Governor Milliken. And he was here for 3 days, and I shook his hand and talked to him and certainly met him, and it was a very exciting thing. I had met him previously and didn't know him, but I knew who he was, certainly, and he'd been here before. And I suspect that was the highlight of my career. You don't often have a sitting president coming into your facilities, and we were honored. But we've known all the governors that I've been here for, and that goes back to Soapy Williams, because the residence of the state of Michigan is right across the golf course from here. We've always done catering service for whoever the governor is, either party, whenever, and are so honored to be doing that, and still do. In those days, the governor had no state residence in Lansing and provided their own, and the residents came to the state, I think, during the Milliken years. That's now in Lansing and still the same one and still used. Governor Granholm is there right now. And so because of that and because of knowing the governors, we obtained a lot of politicians through here, but we've had others. I remember when I was a kid working the front desk, and we had Jack Benny arrived, and that was pretty thrilling. I'd never seen anything like that, and bear in mind I was just off the farm, too, and that sounded pretty good. In those days, the radio was as good as WJR is today.
He was probably 39 years old.
Yes, he was, I think, all his life, wasn't he?
Yes. We're talking to Dan Musser, Sr., and I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Anything Is Possible with Jack Krasula on News Talk 760 WJR.
Welcome back. We're with the chairman of the Grand Hotel, Dan Musser, Sr. Dan, every time I come to Mackinac Island and go to the Grand Hotel, what shouts out at me is generations of families. Talk about that.
We're so fortunate. You have to remember, Jack, that this is our summer resort, and it is the time that families are able to get together with kids not in school, and we've tried to capitalize on that, and I think we have. But we have, right this moment, as I sit here on a foggy morning, I think we have 7 different families here right this moment with 3 generations, and it's usually the grandfather, like me, with his children and grandchildren here. And sometimes we get a 4th generation represented. But those families just keep coming. I have no idea how to advertise for them, and so we don't. That's word of mouth, I think. But we've been very successful with that, and we're grateful for it. But in addition to that, and probably more important to our body and bottom line, is that we're able to bring one family of 2 generations to us in great numbers. For instance, at the moment, this very moment, we have at least 300 children in this building. And those younger ones we don't charge for. The older ones we charge a lesser rate for. But they're all here. They're using our pool. They're using renting our bicycles. They're playing golf with their parents. They're playing tennis with their parents. They're eating meals with their parents. And we've been able to maintain that. We have I think there are 9 young people on our staff that will take children and beginning at 10:30 in the morning and up until lunchtime or through lunchtime, and then we pick them up again at 5 o'clock at night and take them through dinner until 10 or 10:30 with programs and movies. We take them, for instance, walks to our Woods restaurant, which is a couple miles away, where we'll feed them a hot dog and something for lunch, and they can use the little duck pin bowling alley out there, which is a unique thing and part of the lure out there, but it's also a nice walk through the woods to get there. We take a peep, we take kids swimming, and that's, we, they have to be a little older for that. We take them on bike rides, same thing. We don't take three-year-olds on that, but we have suitable activities for all ages of children, and we can, I think we do a pretty good job with that, and that word travels. But more importantly, the facility lends itself to families having a meal together, and that seems to be harder and harder to do in these times. And spending the day at some leisure time on a horse or on a carriage, taking a carriage tour of this island, which is a wonderful thing, or going to Fort Mackinac, which is a wonderful thing. And we serve luncheon over there, which is available in one of the most beautiful settings in the state of Michigan and maybe elsewhere. It's high on the bluff here and looks out over the city and the harbor, and it's very exciting. So we have activities for children to do, and those activities lend themselves to doing it with their parents. And I think that's been a plus for us, and we've tried to capitalize on that and still do.
You've been quoted, and I quote you, "We are in the kid business today."
We are.
Dan, what will the Grand Hotel look like in 25 years?
Well, you know, I look back 60 years, and it doesn't look a lot different now than it did then. We were selling conventions back then. We needed conventions back then, probably more than we do now, but not a lot more. And so over the years, while it has changed, it has not changed either. And I think that the gathering place for two and three generations of families is not going to end soon. I think that'll be with us forever, and I hope so. We also think that we've been able to inject into this property a sense of normalcy. Our family's been with it for all these years, and I think that that's helped us. Our management isn't changing every couple weeks or years. Our son Dan, who is mid-40s, and his sister, who is 50, are here every day working, and we like that. It permits Amy and I an opportunity to go south in the winter, but they stay here and stay with it. And we've tried to have a muster presence here at every day of the year and do. And I think that that's helped us immensely. But we're still trying to figure out and continue to figure out and continue to strive to appeal to a 3-year-old and a 9-year-old and a 13-year-old and a 16-year-old. And we're lucky in having families that have come for those numbers of years, and many of them through conventions. Conventions at Mackinac generally have a sizable children makeup with them, and we have children's special programs for those conventions if they desire. So we're in that business.
A few weeks ago, Dick LeBeau got into the Football Hall of Fame with six other men. He played for Ohio State, then he played for the Lions for 13 years. He's 72 years old, Dan, and he's still the defensive coordinator of the Steelers. And this is how he ended his speech. Quote, "I'll leave you with one thing. Life is for living, folks. Don't let a number be anything other than a number. Don't let somebody tell you you're too old to do this or too old to do that. Stay in life. Life is a gift. It's a joy. Don't drop out of it. Don't let somebody else tell you, and don't let your mind tell you." You're at that hotel every day. How do you do it? And What do you say to people who say, I'm too old to do something?
I don't think too many people say that to me, and I hope not. I really don't hear them if they do. Frankly, I don't know what I'd do if I didn't come here. We've been able to relax in the winters and do, but in the summertime, it's part of my life. I've grown up that way, and I don't suspect I'll ever change. I try to get here in the morning and in time to see that we got someone cooking eggs back in the kitchen, and that's my first stop every morning, and has been for most of these years. And that's served me well, but it's also served us well to have someone here. I'm still vitally interested in this building and the progress we can make, and we're trying to. But it's true. Don't quit. It's been a long thing with me. I like the business. I like intermingling with guests, speaking with guests, and we do. Amazing how much our dog Sadie has played into things this summer. And that's been fun, talking to people about her, because she's a little special little Scottish Terrier that we're proud of. And that's another thing I don't think we'll quit doing. But we've had fun with this. We've had fun with life, and I hope to keep that going.
Well, she's more than a special little terrier. You and Amelia have been at that for 40 years, and she currently is the United States of America Dog of the Year.
That's the truth.
So
that's the truth, and that's pretty good.
Doesn't get much better than that, Mr.
No,
Musser.
You're right.
So, Chairman, thanks a million for doing this. Thanks for 60 years of giving tens of thousands of us a priceless experience, and please keep it up.
Jack, you're so kind, and thank you for inviting me.
Our honor.
It's a pleasure.
Please join us next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spall.
Believe in yourself.